And I've gone through about everything. I kind of left love out of place till we got a little closer to Valentine's Day. And the last thing that I want to talk about to you on that subject, and I normally don't preach along that way like a series like that, but this came out that way. And the last thing is in Galatians 5:22, the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Temperance is the last thing that I want to talk to you about. Now, as I was going through this, and I learned this about this text right here a long time ago. I've heard people say this. They'll say, a fruit of the Spirit is love, and then they'll say a fruit of the Spirit is, joy, peace, those, you know, the things that go on. And I learned this, it says the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is, and then it gives the characteristics of the fruit. So I learned this one thing, that it's just one fruit. And I was telling you along the way, you can't separate these things. Listen, if the Spirit of God is in you, then, you know, you're not going to have like one thing and not the other. You're going to, you know, if you have love, listen, if the love of God is in your heart, you're going to have joy. And if you have love and joy in your heart, you're going to have peace. And so all the things, you can't just separate one thing out, because it doesn't says a fruit. I saw a preacher the other day, had written something back. He said, a fruit of the Spirit, another fruit of the Spirit is, nope, it's just one fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is all these things. It's one of those fruits that's got everything in it, all in one thing. So I learned that along the way. I was sharing, there's things in the Bible that are like, they're right there in plain sight, if we would just see them. If you guys weren't in the Sunday school class this morning, and I was talking about revival. We know about the Asbury revival that's going on up in Kentucky and this and that, and there's a bunch of other ones that broke out. And I was telling the Sunday school, if you guys weren't in my class, this is a little side note. It don't have nothing to do with what I'm preaching on tonight, but I'll give you this right, huh? I'll give you a little side lesson, no extra charge. The one thing, and I got to thinking about it, the outstanding thing was, of all the revivals that I've read about in modern times, even in the Bible times, is this one thing. They said at Asbury, they said it was just a regular chapel day. Wednesday morning chapel, just a normal Wednesday chapel, and the guy preached on the love of God out of Romans chapter 12, and man, just at the end, you know, God showed up, people confessed, man, they didn't want to leave. Okay, so what happened there? Nothing out of the ordinary happened on man's side, and I had a lot more to it that I didn't, that I'm going to tell you now. But what I'm going to say is that God brings revival. God is the one that brings revival. It's nothing that we do. And so we've always said this. We've gone about it backwards, I think. I've looked at it. Now, I think things are like this will be involved, but we got to watch, you know, the order of things. And so a lot of times I say, you know what? We'll have revival if you guys would start praying more, and if you guys would be more obedient, and if you guys would be more faithful, and if, you know, in other words, if you get to the place where you don't need a revival, we'll have a revival. That's kind of what we're saying. Do all these things that a revival would produce, and then we'll have a revival. Well, if we could do that, we wouldn't be calling for a revival, right? Now, and I said, you know, so like we have a meeting, we pray for that. We pray that for all the things. But I was pointing out too, I think sometimes, like this morning's message, God will hold back. If we think, if our mindset's not right, we say, hey, man, boy, if we just had C.T. Townsend come in and preach, boy, we'd have a revival. Well, you know what we would? God wouldn't get the glory. We'd say C.T. brought it. Huh? If we say, well, you know what, we'll just pray, and then we'll have a revival, and we should pray. But if we're not careful, our mind can get messed up to where we say, well, you know why we had a revival? Because we prayed it up. You know, we had this singing group, and boy, they just got it. And when they showed up, and man, they were just so good. See, we're robbing God from the, and if that's going to happen, God will hold back. Huh? It's got to be God. See, it's not the person. When we went to see the Sutera twins, two guys, they're 90, 91 years old now. They were at the prayer advance, and they shared with us about the Canadian revival. This whole city of Saskatoon got in a revival in the 70s, early 70s. And the newspaper reporters went there. And the cool thing was, you know what they said? The preaching, the newspaper reporter, the guy was reading the report. He found the papers, old Ralph Sotera, man, 91 years old. He said, this is what, and his brother preached, or one of the other ones. And he said, the preaching was rudimentary and uninspiring. And he was pointing at his brother saying, he's the one that preached it, you know. But that was the good thing. See, in a way, because they didn't bring the revival. You know, this was an observation from a newspaper person that might have been a lost man. He said the preaching didn't seem, but he said, yes, definitely God was here. God was here. See, so that they couldn't get the credit. God got the credit. So anyway, so I was thinking all these years, you think about it backwards, our mind. We think, boy, if we do this, 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 and this, and this, we'll have revival. Hey, listen, if we were doing that, we'd already be in a state of revival. We'd be revived, right? That would be the case. Well, then I started thinking about this. We start thinking about fruit of the Spirit, and I was kind of looking at that, and I was looking at temperance. What would we say the definition of temperance is? Go ahead and shout it out. I normally don't do this when I'm preaching, but what is, okay, that's right. And we got that all wrong too. If we had self-control, it's not self-control there. It's spirit control. Our problem is we don't have self-control. That's our problem. That's why we need the Holy Spirit of God. And I was looking at that. I said, well, no, it can't be self-control. And it's got to be the spirit control. It's a characteristic. What does this say this is? The fruit of the Spirit is it's control. That control will be the control of God. And so that's our whole problem. See, we look up right up above it. It said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, the which I tell you as before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So how is our self-control working out? Who's our biggest enemy? Ourself. It's self, right? It's self. Now, in the sense that the Holy Spirit works, when the Holy Spirit works in us and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, then it's self-control that way. But it's really spirit. It's spirit control. It's not self. I remember there was the comedian Sinbad. Y'all, you remember, you know who I'm talking about? Did he die? Did he die of a heart attack or something? I haven't heard from him in a while. Huh? I think he had. Yeah. Anyway, but Sinbad was funny as all get out. I liked him. I think his daddy was a preacher. Sinbad didn't use bad language when he had comedy without filthy talk. But he was talking about, he was kind of a big guy, a little bit big guy. He said, you know, I went on a diet. He said, I went on a Nutrisystem diet. And he said, I went down there to get they got the groceries they give you, right? And he said they had this bag about this big, and they gave you the groceries. He said, this is the grocery for a day? They said, no, for a week. he said, a week? A week? He said, yeah. They said, and if you get hungry in between meals, you eat a Nutri chip. A chip. He said, if I could do that, I wouldn't need Nutrisystem to start with, right? That's my problem. I can't do it. You know, that's our whole problem. We wouldn't be on a diet if we had self-control, right? But we don't have it. I can relate to that. So, you know, it's kind of funny. There's two powers that work in us, the spirit and the flesh. Always at work in us, man. It's a war and it's a battle, and self's our problem. I read this. I'm not a poem writer. I saw this poem, but it was good. An enemy I had whose face I stoutly strove to know, for hard he dogged my steps unseen wherever I did go. My plans he balked, my aims he foiled, he blocked my onward way. When for some lofty goal I toiled, he grimly said to me, nay. One night I seized and held him fast, from him the veil I did draw. I looked upon his face at last, and lo, myself I saw. That's our problem. We're wrestling with ourselves, which we already know that. And so the will, of course, obviously the will is involved with God. I mean, you know, God deals with our heart. And the reason he deals with our heart, because see, once it gets in your heart, we were talking about somebody today or somewhere along the way. You know why people don't go to church? You know, and well, you know why, you know, preacher, you know why I haven't been coming? I said, yeah, I know why you haven't been coming. You don't know why you haven't been coming. They look at me real weird. I said, you don't even been coming because you don't want to. Simple as that. Nothing would matter. It wouldn't matter what color the carpet is. It wouldn't matter that somebody made you mad. I mean, stuff like this happens at your job all the time, and it doesn't stop you from going to work, right? It's just when you want to do it, nothing. What? Because what? Love believes all things, bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So if whatever you love, right? So our will, when God gets our heart, he's got our will. He'll get our will. And so the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and we have all these things, and self-control. It'll be really spiritual control. Because even in a spirit-filled man, I'm going to tell you what, sometimes that old flesh wants to do that, and that old Holy Spirit's wearing you out not to do it or to do it. You know, there's that conflict. The guy that makes the custom turkey calls, he got kidney stones, and he couldn't go to the booth. He had his booth down there at the Western Virginia Sportsman Show. I went to that yesterday. And so he had a guy I know and his son helping him. They're selling the stuff. When I got home, Jerry was texting me, the guy that makes them. He said, yeah, man. He said, they texted me and told me how much money they was making and all. And I said, yeah, I was down there looking at turkey calls. I said, I saw a copper one I really liked. I said, I went to steal it, but I said, God convicted me, so I put it back. I was just kidding with him. I put a smiley face on it. And he said, I'll give you one. You know, he said, I thought you had one. I said, yeah, I had one. Last year I gave it to Kyle, and then we started going hunting with it, and I kept taking it from Kyle and saying, let me see that call. Let me see. I said, sorry, buddy, I'm going to keep this. And again, I took it back. I took it back here. I said, you can have aluminum one. So Jerry said, I'm going to give you another copper one. I give one to Kyle, right? Anyway, but I mean, you're the Holy Spirit. I mean, I wasn't really going to steal anything. I was just kidding with him. But that's how that goes. So our wills gets involved there because God deals with our heart and such. And it says, and so, you know, we see in Galatians 5:25 said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if we have the Holy Spirit of God, and there's an inner strength that we have with the Holy Spirit of God directing our life. It's a different thing. The Holy Spirit himself, and he leads us, and he speaks to us, and he empowers us, and he gives us the victory over self that otherwise we didn't have, or we couldn't have that. And so we know we have an internal battle between the flesh and the spirit that's going on. It's all the time. And I'm going to tell you what. You know what happens to us? When you go out the door without your armor on, that's what happens. You go out in this world right here without your armor on, putting on the whole armor of God, right? Boy, you hadn't been in prayer in the morning. You hadn't been reading, you know, and I mean, you try to go out. I'm going to tell you what. You're going to lose. You're going to lose the battle along the way. We have choices. We make choices every day. We have to make choices. There's good choices, huh? You ought to love. You ought to laugh. You ought to encourage somebody. You ought to help somebody in need. I mean, those are good things. I mean, we don't have to think about it. It's cut and dried. That's what we ought to do that. And there's bad things, sin, sinful thoughts. I'll get on that in a minute. Habits, practices. And we absolutely should abstain from that. It's not like a question of controlling over that. You know what I'm saying? It's not that. It's just no and yay, right? Those are the two things. But see, we got the necessities of life. We've got things in life that aren't of themselves good. They might even be good. They're good. They may be things that's even needed. They're not of themselves evil. Let me put it that way. They're not of themselves evil. But they can be. And so now we have this spirit control, right? This spirit control. Do we have to exercise control over eating? Yeah, how we doing there? How we doing with that? Big old, come in our church, what do you got back there? You got hand sanitizer and a big old bucket of chocolate candy sitting there on the side. Huh? And see, when everybody leaves and nobody's looking and I'm going around flicking out the lights. Huh? I get one of them, huh? And you start talking to me, I'm smiling, got butterfingers smeared all over my teeth. How y'all doing? Spending. We have to control that, right? I mean, we should. Even working. Workaholics, they got a name, you know, working yourself to death. The opposite, how about resting? Sleeping all the time, laziness could be. How about talking? Huh? How about talking? I mean, man, there's a bunch of things in life. I mean, eating, we got to eat some. We don't have to eat as much as we do, right? So there's things that need control, you know, that we need to have control. Like I said, our will's involved in it. If you want to look at it as self-control that way, but self-control apart from the Spirit of God, you know, that hasn't panned out too good. The world even knows how this thing works. Look how advertisers do. Huh? I mean, they got pictures. You know, you go, what gets me, where we go deer hunting at? You got them old, it's them rinky-dink pizzas that these little rinky-dink restaurants get. They frozen things, they throw them in that thing with a couple of heat lamps over top of them, get them pizza. And they got a picture of it. They had a picture of it on the side of the thing. Oh, man, it looks real good. It don't look nothing like that when you get it, but it looks real good. I heard a story about a guy one time, and he said he went into the restaurant, you know, the waitress always comes, they got the menu. The menus, you know, you get on the North Star, boy, they look great. And he said he looked at something, man, it looks good, I'll buy that. And the guy got it, they brought it to him and ate it, and at the end the waitress said, well, how'd you like your meal? He said, give my compliments to the photographer. I mean, you know, it looked good. I told the guy Troy Sage, he's a good guy, a Christian guy that has the, now the food we eat where we go to the restaurant where we hunt, it's really good. And then pizzas are okay too. I said, I got a restaurant joke for you, and I told him that when he got a kick out of that. But you know, the world, so they show you something really good, right, to suck you in. The car dealer, you know, the old advertisements. I remember when I was a kid, they had one convertible going down the road. And the guy's driving it, and if you're driving this convertible, then this real nice-looking girl comes floating down out of the air and lands in the seat right beside you. Hey, honey, I think I'm going to go buy one of these cars. You know, that's what's going to happen. I think a bunch of people bought convertibles. They're riding around the top down looking around. You know, so they show you this and houses and all the things. And you know what? You can overindulge in all of that. Just right up here to Ashley Plantation. Remember that Fannie Mae stuff was going on? Fannie Mae was when the banks would loan anybody, any knucklehead, a bunch of money more than they could afford to pay. And they bought them houses up in Ashley Plantation. And you know what? Most of them houses sat around just about empty. I think the people were sitting on orange crates or apple crates up there in the house. They couldn't afford to put the furniture in them when they got their house payment. I was at a car dealership one time down here in Roanoke years back, and I was talking to the finance guy. He said, man, I'll tell you what, people, I sell cars. He said, they want these cars. He said, their car broke. He said, I look at their finances, I look at what they're buying, I look at what their payment's going to be, and he said, they can't even afford to put gas in. He said, they won't even be able to eat, but they want to go on, and he said, I'll show it to them. They're going to go ahead and buy it. They don't have any control, over that thing as well. And so, when you go down, Sherry and I like to go to Williamsburg, and sometimes we get those calls all the time. I finally had control. And I always say no now when they call. They say, hey, if you come down here, we'll give you 2 nights and 3 days at this resort, and all you got to do is come for an hour and a half. And that's a lie. See, the hour and a half does not start when you sit there for 30 minutes waiting on it to start. It's when they finally give you this poor sucker that's going to try to sell you, a piece of this deal. That's when your time starts. So it's 3 hours. It's 3 hours. When you get done and they take you around, and this is one of their selling points. They said, I'll never forget it. The lady, of course, I was enlightened already by God and God's word. But she said, and then there's another reason you ought to buy. The pride of ownership. The pride of ownership. Oh, I can be so proud that I'm in debt up to here with something I'm going to use once a year. And then I got to pay a maintenance fee on it's going to go up till doomsday, and you never can get rid of this thing. I'm going to be so proud of that. And I'll be able to come back to the church. I'm a proud owner of a week down in Williamsburg. And boy, don't you just feel good? Huh? Pride. But see, it appeals to your pride. And I was laughing to myself when she said it. I didn't say nothing to the lady. And I said, but that's how the world works. It's pride. It's things you have to have. And you may need some of the things. You don't have to have that, but some of the things you might have. So appealing to pride. So the Bible has a whole lot of things to say specifically about things in our life that we have and we're going to use and that we have to do, but that we have to have spiritual control in our life over those things. The very first thing, I'm just going to look at this. This is flat out basic stuff, man. We see it in the Bible, the tongue. You know, the Bible talks about the tongue a lot in the Word of God. James 1:6 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Taming the tongue. How's self-control been doing for you on that? Huh? You know, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Well, maybe you better not. What little pieces you got left, you can't afford to give any away. Right? Some people just got to tell you, you know, there's things that we don't have. Facebook is a great illustration of that. Huh? Just people got to say something, whether we need to hear it or not. It's not, you know, I mean, they can't control themselves. I went to the dentist the other day. You ever get to the dentist? That tongue. You cannot keep that thing out of the way. The guys in there, they got to take a tool and stick in there that mirror and they pull it off to one side. And I was telling them, I said, man, I can sit there and think about that thing, trying to keep my tongue from going over there and poking where he's working. He said, you can't do it, can you? I said, no, I cannot. Man, that thing has a mind of its own. It's unbelievable. And so you see, but that's a physical truth to a spiritual reality in our talking as well. 1 Peter 3:10 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. How are we doing with that? And lips that speak no guile. But you know, the tongue can be used for a good thing. Man, I mean, you can build somebody up. You can encourage somebody with the tongue. You can cut somebody down. You could sing, make a joyful noise. Some people can't, but some people can. Huh? I mean, the tongue, you know, it's one of those things. We need it. We communicate with it. We can glorify God with it. We can praise God. The Bible even talks about this. I didn't cover all the verses that would go with the tongue. But boy, it said bitter water and sweet don't come out of the same spring. That's talking about cussing and praising God coming out of the same spot. It shouldn't happen. And if it does, how is your self-control doing? Didn't come from the Spirit, right? Huh? If cursing comes out, it's not from the Spirit, right? Self-control is not working. It's got to be spiritual control. So, Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Proverbs 12:19 says, the lips of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 6:16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. There's a tongue involved in that one too. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. There's been some times in my pastorship here, I should have got on that verse right there and said, he that soweth discord among the brethren. He that soweth discord among the brethren. He that soweth discord among the brethren. Can't say that real fast. God said he hates it. That's tongue. Can't keep it to yourself. Can't, whatever it is, whatever it may be. Tame, you know, it's hard. It's a hard thing to do. And you know, we see how this apply the tongue to the mind, even go in that verse right there. We're going to get to that along the way here. It's all connected. James 3:8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It says our tongue's is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And most of the time, when we're out of control with it, it's never in a good way. Man, I wish old so-and-so would just shut up, man. They've just been encouraging me so much. It's encouraging me so much. I can't stand it any longer. Huh? That doesn't never happen, does it? It's always somebody that's giving you grief, right? You know, that's what happens. Taming the tongue. No wonder. Oh, here's a good one. James 3:6 says, tells us that the tongue can defile the whole body. That our tongue can defile the whole body by, you know, how we talk. No wonder God wants us to confess with our mouth. Huh? He wants to take that old tongue and have that tongue tell on itself. Confess against itself. Testify against itself. Huh? Boy, that's it. David wrote in Psalm 39:1, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue, and I will keep my mouth with a bridle. And see, now we have a bridle. We have the Holy Spirit of God. This is the bridle, our tongue. And I'm going to tell you what, if you know, you kind of grow along in your Christian life, you should. And boy, I'll tell you what, and I can look back and see, man, I was one of them people that I didn't care what I said, who I said it to. And there's been times now, trust me, I didn't say what I wanted to say. And it was God saying, you know, just even, and even, you know, I horse around a lot and kid around and stuff. And sometimes I probably hurt people's feelings or made them mad and all that. And there's been times I wanted to say something. I thought it was going to be funny. I thought, God said, don't say it right. Timing's everything, right? I mean, so you listen to God. God kind of, that's the Holy Spirit dealing with you. Listen, we don't have to say everything that we think. Or we don't have to text it. We don't have to put it on Facebook. You know, we don't have to, you know, we don't have to do that. Everything that we see. So we see the tongue. In a place of control, let the Spirit control our tongue. Right there, have him will away. And then there's the stomach. The stomach. Eating and drinking. Gluttony. Proverbs 23:2 says, it got quiet when I said that. I don't know why this topic is. And put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Put a knife to thy throat. You know, listen. You know, we got to eat a certain amount. We got to eat food. And how many, you know, when I was a kid, man, I weighed like 155 pounds when I went in the Navy. And I liked food and I ate when I had to, but it wasn't one of them things where it's just like, oh man, this food. When I was growing up and when I was just skinny as a rail, my mom, she would put the food out on the plate and I was just wanting to get out the door, you know, and you had to eat. So man, I sat down. Was it good? Yeah, man, both my parents could cook. My dad could cook. Man, we sat down and I'd eat what I had on my plate. Never thought about seconds, even though the food was good. I just wanted to eat on my plate, drink my tea, and back out on the street, running. Now what do we do? Man, old James Gregory. Stomach, indigestion. Hey, you going in the kitchen?
Yeah.
How about cutting me a piece of that cake? Just a small piece, will you? And then what we do, huh? Larry, you go back in there, you got food plastered all over your shirt. I'm just saying, man. I know, huh? Food all over your shirt, and you're going to get another helping. And I do the same thing. And it's not, you're full, but it tastes so good. When I was a kid, I never thought about it. And man, we go in there and just eat. Y'all getting hungry now? Just think, I see some of you drooling, man. Man, I'm thinking, man, I got a piece of that cake he's talking about back there in the refrigerator, huh? But you eat, and you eat, and you eat. You can eat. I do it, man. Somebody, Patty, you give me them jelly beans the other night? Them Jelly Belly jelly beans? You know how long they last? They was gone the next day. I mean, and they would have been gone that night, except Sherry got on me about eating them. Huh? Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to eat them, but she gave them to me. Tempted me beyond my ability to control myself. Huh? Okay. It's, you know, we can eat past necessity. I found this trick out. I found it about dying. You can eat just a little bit and you think you're not full. And you can eat a lot more. Just wait 5 minutes. And you know what? Your appetite will go right away. You'll be okay. You'll be all right. So that's a cure. That'll help you with losing weight. Eat less than you think you need and wait 5 minutes and you won't be hungry any longer. Don't go back in there for a second help, Larry. You see? Huh? And then, you know, eating and drinking kind of goes along the same way together. Proverbs 23:21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. That's why I tell you, and I've told you all this before, that fasting, and the Bible talks about fasting. Fasting is such a great illustration and a great test of saying no to the flesh. But you can't say no to your stomach. How many other things can't you say no? You can't say no to nothing. Well, I don't know, man. That stomach's pretty strong, huh? That desire to eat. If we can't say no to our stomachs, though, how can we say no to sin? That's the lesson, one of the lessons that you see in fasting, besides getting to a spiritual place and all those things right there. It said that verse I read, the very first verse I read, Proverbs 23:2, put a knife to your throat if thou be a man given to appetite. You know what? You can literally eat yourself to death. Literally. They have them television shows on there, My 600-Pound Life. Somebody's unate herself to the point where they can't get out of bed. I mean, they're just in bed, man, and they're in there, and they're getting pizzas, man, pizza crust laying on their belly, man. They got to be eating all the wrong stuff. Just eat. Somebody got to go. I said, man, if that was my relative, they wouldn't have that problem because I wouldn't go get them all that stuff. Just wouldn't get it. I'd give them enough to live on, have a salad, and you get them down. But, man, you can eat yourself to death, and in more ways than one. I mean, listen. High cholesterol, high blood pressure. All this comes with overeating. All this comes with being overweight. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, heartburn, indigestion, knee and back problems, sugar problems, bowel problems. I mean, you know, you can have all of the above at one time. Health just shot down in flames because we can't keep stuffing something in our face. No control. No control over that. Drinking, man, alcohol, particularly alcohol. Bible says a lot about it. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Some smart aleck always say, well, see, it says don't drink it to excess. Well, I'm going to tell you the problem is when you drink any amount, suddenly you're not under the Spirit's control, but you're under the control of alcohol. And how many of us know that we can make real dumb decisions when we're under the influence of alcohol? I know none of you probably ever done this. We just read about it in a book and we saw it on TV, but you can make stupid decisions. So once you drink the first drink, your judgment is distorted. We don't know what excess is. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 23:31 says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. You know what that is? That's fermentation. So don't even look at it. Don't even look at it. And then the priests were told in Leviticus 10:9, do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. That would cure it. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation. God would kill the priest if they went into the tabernacle. Who is the priest today? We are. We don't need a high priest. We have the priesthood of believers is one of our. We have direct access to God. Where's the temple of the Spirit today? Where's the temple of God today? It's in our heart. But if those priests went in the tabernacle, been drinking wine, God said he'd kill them. Put shed new light on that, doesn't it? A Nazarite separated unto God. Number 6:3, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, shall drink no vinegar of wine, nor vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dry. Samson, we know about Samson, was in Judges 13. He was a Nazarite. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. The Nazarite. A Nazarite was what? Separated unto God. What are we supposed to be? Separated unto God, right? We're not taking a Nazarite vow, but we still should be separated unto God in that sense, right? The kings, Proverbs 31:4, it's not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. So the kings couldn't. Well, who's the kings today? We're a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of king, princes, king, you know, our father, Jesus is the king. I mean, man, we're heirs to the king, right? Daniel purposed in his heart, and Daniel, you see, purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat and drink. He wouldn't eat what they ate. He wouldn't defile himself with those things. John the Baptist in Luke 1:15 said, for he shall be great in sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. The Bible tells us, be ye filled with the Spirit. And note, everyone that was filled with the Holy Spirit was told not to drink wine. Strong drink, wine. And there's a lot of, I ain't going to go into all the details about the word wine and what it could mean, but there was very little alcohol in most of the wine that we read about anybody drank, if any at all. And they use that word kind of loosely, the word wine loosely, for drinking a lot of things. But those that were filled with the Spirit, because we're supposed to be under the influence of the Spirit. And if you drink all the time, and I mean, I did, I drank, I mean, I wasn't, a, I don't think I was an alcoholic. I was, you know, I mean, I would drink beer just about every day, though, and come home. And I'm tell you what, when you drink it every day like that, you know, one or two beers, I couldn't tell the difference, and nobody else probably could. If I drank two right now, you'd know. I'd be real happy, huh? Yeah, it has an influence on you. whether you realize it or not. It has an influence on you, is what I'm trying to get you to see. And if you hadn't drank anything ever, or you remember back the first time you did take a drink of something, and you know how that, it has an influence right away. We're supposed to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And so we see that things like that, our stomach, our tongue, these are things that the Spirit wants to control all of us and can control us in that way. Our mind, the third thing. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations, there's the mind, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing in captivity every thought. Now, buddy, here's where we're on the battleground right here. Because, see, there's a lot of things that goes in here that we wouldn't do out here or have a hard time doing it out here. But it goes on in here. And sometimes we're, and my pastor used to always say this. He said, sometimes we can't help what pops into our mind, but we can keep it from being there. So we can send it back out, right? You can send it out. But see, some people, this is when when you take evil, sinful thoughts, could be lust, whatever, and you just keep rolling it over in your mind, thinking about it, fantasizing about it, any sin, fantasizing over in your mind, over and over, now it's a sin. Now it's a sin. But see, a lot of people think, well, if I don't do it, if I don't physically sin, it's not a sin. No, you can keep thinking. You can sin with your mind. And we probably do more than any other area of our life is sin with our mind. Boy, I'd just like to knock the snot out of that guy, man. Huh? Boy, I'd like, oh, man, you ever, huh? Boy, that road rage, man, you know. Just like to just, ooh, man, like to give him a piece of my hate. You can have hate. Where's hate? Heart and mind, right? You can have it. Disgust, contempt, all those things that we can have in our mind. It said, bring into captivity every thought. In other words, is it a godly thought? Is it the Holy Spirit leading me to think this way? Harold said, I told you that, Harold Vaughn told us one time, and it helped me so much. He said, every negative thought, there's no negative thoughts comes from God. It's always, it's something else. It's ourself or Satan puts it in our mind. Sins of the mind. Lust comes in and begins in the mind. The Bible says, cast down those imaginations. I read this stat the other day, and I ran back real quick, and I remembered it pretty distinctly because I'm going to use it somewhere else when I start talking about the last days that we're in. There's this one site. There's pornographies everywhere on the internet. We all just understand that. And now everybody say, oh, man, the Christians aren't looking at it. Okay. One site has had, I think since its inception, maybe, it might not be a year, it might be a year, don't quote me on this, but I know it's this, it said this. This one pornography site has had 4,800,000,000+ and a bunch of thousands and things hits on that one site. 4,800,000,000+ visits on just one site. It's probably just a year. It's probably just in a year. One sight. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We looked that up for us the other night. So, you know, man, you know, because, see, we all, before we got saved, we lived sinful lives. We saw things. We hear things. We still do. I'll tell you, we went to DMV the other day, man. She don't want me to tell it, but I'm going to tell it anyway. We go to DMV, man. You know how they got those chairs where you're waiting, and there was a row of chairs in front of us, and we were sitting there talking. She was sitting there beside me. And this guy come in there a little bit overweight, and he had them baggy, like, silk-looking, they're not silk, but they're nylon sweat, you know, jogging pants, basketball pants, whatever they are, t-shirt on, you know, 10 pounds of sausage in a 5-pound bag. He come in there and he went to sit down, you know, and he bends down, boy, there it is, the Grand Canyon right in front of you there, you know, and he goes to sit down in his rear end, and Sherry is trying to keep a straight, she's looking at me real hard staring, and I was looking, I knew, I said, You see that? She goes, she was looking at me, and she started laughing. She's looking, and I said, I'm never going to get that image out of my head. So, like right now, I got it. Let me draw you a picture. But what I'm saying is, and it's like that, but not with that, well, even that. There's things that we've seen, saw, heard, done, thought about. We know what sin is. We know what it is. And what happens is it just pops in your mind sometimes. What do? Think on these things, you know, true things, pure things, honest things, good report, lovely things, the things of God. Man, just start thinking on the things of God. Start thinking of a Bible verse. Start thinking of praying, man. I mean, start talking. Think on, that's get it out of your mind. Just because if you sit there and think on it long enough, it's going to come to fruition. That's what's going to happen in your mind. That's why these people sit around and they read these them love story paper. But what do they call them things? Romance books. Yeah, they read them things over and over. These old lonely housewives, they sit around while the husband's working, read them thing, huh? Next thing you know, they off having an affair somewhere because they read about so much. Putting it in your mind. Putting it in your mind. Say, them girls is having all fun. I'm not having no fun. Huh? Put it in your mind. You put it out. And then the eyes. The Bible says a lot about the eyes. Luke 11:34 says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is single, the whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. There's another case right there where with one part of our body that we can use for good and or evil, our eye, that our whole body can be full of darkness because of our eye, what we look at, what we allow ourselves to look at, what we like, you know, allow ourselves to see. Like, you know, like we couldn't help that guy sit down in front of us the other day and we didn't look at it too much. I caught Sherry a couple times looking over there. But I'm just teasing. It's the lust of the eyes. It affects the whole body. It affects the whole body. Psalm 119:37 says, turn away mine eyes. David probably wrote this, from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. The eyes, man, what you see. You know, just and I tell you what, nowadays, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be an exercise in snapping your head around. You know, just by the way people dress, the way they, the advertisements on television, just regular old TV, billboard signs and all, good night, you're going to have to get blinders, I understand. It's just, you know what, you don't have to keep looking. I heard a message on that. Maybe Harold preached it. I can't remember something. The second look. When old David looked out the window, he was just out there at his house, walking in the cool of the evening, man, he looked out there and he saw Bathsheba. Couldn't help it. I mean, Bathsheba might, I mean, that's how they did it. You know, they do it up on the roof at night. He saw a woman bathing herself. That look wasn't a problem. So when he looked back one more time, that second look, huh? He could have helped that. He couldn't help the first one, but he could help the second one. Huh? That's it. I mean, it's the second look. And so the eyes, man. Matthew 5:20 said, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not the whole body should be cast into hell. Listen, man, do what you have to do. So we see the corrupt nature, and through the things I even talked about tonight, throughout our whole body, we can see the corrupt, sinful nature that we have, and that, you know, that we, of course, Jesus died. If we're saved, Jesus died for us, man. I mean, we've been saved. We have the Holy Spirit of God. And we still got that old flesh. We got the flesh to deal with, but we've got the bridle that he talked about. We've got the Holy Spirit of God. But we see every member that has been affected or touched by sin. And no wonder temperance, it really can't be self-control in the self-sense. It's control of self by the Holy Spirit of God, letting the Holy Spirit of God, the fruit. So there it is, all the things, and I've gone through in different services. I took everything and done, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is all these things, these one things. And boy, hey, there's some good things to think about. Love, joy, peace. Man, I mean, we can think about them all. And, you know, God give us a victory over these things. So in the Holy Spirit, It's every part of our body, our mind, our eyes, our mouth, our tongue, our stomach, everything, every part of our body be in control of the Holy Spirit of God. Then we won't need the revival that I was talking about. Huh? We'd be in a revived state. Amen? Amen? Well, I hope that helps you tonight. Like I say,